Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Network Timeout Podcast. I'm your host, Malicious Miles, here with your co-host, Madden Mobile Slay.
Yo, what's up?
And today we're going to talk about a lot of things, but mostly related to where our strengths lie. And in the future, we'll be having some guests, but for now, we're just going to kind of lay out the groundwork for the podcast. And if you guys enjoy it, then you can go ahead and subscribe or follow on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this to make sure you catch all the stuff in the future that's coming.
I'm so excited to do this. Me and Miles have literally been talking for like freaking months, right? We've been just wanting to hop on, do a little podcast, talk about Madden Mobile, talk about honestly just anything. That's why we call it a network timeout, because of the meme of timeouts for Madden Mobile. But honestly, we're down to talk about anything.
Yeah, basically. It's been a while in the making, but yeah, we're going to be talking about anything we can. But the reason today is mostly just like sports, gaming type stuff that relates to us is because we're just going to talk about what we actually know something about.
But, occasional roasts too. Yeah, we got some each other. But, I actually hate Malicious Miles, so it makes this the perfect podcast. Beef.
All right, yeah. But it does work well though, because most people think of me as the guy who's like, wait, why is he high all the time, or why does he not show any emotion of his full?
And that's so true.
The one that like overreacts all the time and like pours water on his head. So it's a good balance.
Yeah, that's true. I'm also the dude who fakes polls. Apparently,
rip. Exposed. You heard it here, guys, on the Network Timeout Podcast.
Bro, remember that one dude who like exposed me like in like my, I think it was like the golden ticket poll or something?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Bro, he went hard. And here's the thing, like when it comes, just like a YouTuber thing, when it comes to polls, a lot of times our editors and like recorders will just screw up and we like pull like an insane, you know, ultimate ticket and it stops.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
I had to edit it, but I was a bad editor. So
yeah, no, I that happened to me too, actually. I had an editor. I was trying out an editor. By the way, guys, just for the record, I do edit my own videos, but for three or four videos, I had an editor. And he was pretty good, but like
did
one
you,
time
did you
he
pay
messed
him two
up.
Bucks?
Yeah, I paid him $150 an hour, guys. Hashtag LNU. No, but he messed up one of the timing on one of the polls of my like Crystal Legend poll or something, and everybody was like fake. It moved. And like the reason it moved is because I was playing on an emulator on my computer, and like I dragged it over because I was excited, so I was like I wasn't paying attention to what was happening, and it looked fake, so it was kind of sad. But because it was the first time I actually pulled something good, but you know, whatever, it's okay. I just crushed my dreams.
I know the first time you have like ultimate success, it just gets shattered by the fans.
That happened to me when I pulled a golden ticket last year too. Actually, every time I pull something good, something goes wrong. That's just like Murphy's Law.
Or have you ever like accidentally pressed continue and you're trying to like run to like take a screenshot or record it? Yeah, bro.
It's terrible.
Well, we have a few topics today that we want to talk about. We honestly, it's a super chill. It's nothing like crazy professional, but we just are going to enjoy ourselves talking. But I think we should at least address what most people are, you know, sliding over here for. And if you guys are new, smash that subscribe button. I know you've heard us ask you that question like
a billion
times.
Can we please get 200,000 likes?
Get 9 billion. We need to add just like hardcore music point.
Wolfie raps hype music. But yeah, guys, also if you're out there listening and you are a content creator and you'd like to come on the show or something, make sure you shoot one of us a DM. We'd be happy to have you. We're going to be having a lot of guests pretty much on every podcast. We're looking to have pretty much one guest going on in the future, and we're hoping to do this for a long time. So just make sure you shoot us a DM, and we'll try to work you in there.
Yeah, it's going to be a party. Well, Miles, I think we should talk about Madden Mobile to start off things. Now, this is a podcast where we talk about a lot of things, but both you and I specialize, you know, in the Madden Mobile area. I mean, it's kind of most of our fans are Madden Mobile fans as well. So I think we should talk about Madden Mobile 17, kind of the transition to Madden Mobile 18. I think we should start off with our favorite promos from Madden Mobile 17. What would you say and why would be your favorite promo?
Wow, that's actually kind of a tough one because I'm kind of a negative person. You guys probably know this. But I really wasn't a fan of this year's promos. But I guess my favorite would probably have to be Halloween maybe, or maybe Christmas. It's between those two.
That, That was a great promo, yeah.
But just for some context, my favorite has always been the Black Friday promo just because of the randomness of it. And, like, you kind of have to be on your phone all the time to see what new sets are coming out each hour and stuff like that. That was always my favorite. It wasn't quite as good this year because the sets weren't as exciting. And that's kind of how I feel about most of the promos. But my favorite this year had to be, like, either Halloween or Christmas just because they brought some new stuff into it. And that was kind of scarce this year.
What if you had to completely murder either Halloween or Christmas and keep one, which one would you murder? Which one would you keep?
I got it. Halloween would have to go, honestly. Because Christmas, you can't get rid of the Christmas promo.
So, like, what makes Chris the Ultimate Freeze promo so awesome? Because the whole, you know, Bo Jackson controversy, like, yeah, wow, we did get a Bo Jackson card and people getting triggered. Like, what makes Ultimate Freeze, you know, your favorite?
It just between the gifts and just the way they kind of do those promos, like, again, it's the randomness, it's the suspense, like, that you had to wait for the gifts. And you had to wait. I think they had, like, what, mystery boxes. They ended up sucking, but yeah, they had mystery boxes, yeah. And that was exciting during the time. And you kind of just had to get on there, and you had to really play it, and you had to really try to grind so you could. I like those promos with, like, no ceilings, because a lot of the promos this year had ceilings, I'd say. So
that's so true.
It was, like, pretty good for the casual player. But if you're someone like us who does it basically for a living, you kind of had nowhere to go. It doesn't matter how much money you pour into it, how much time you pour into it. Like, you can't really do much more. But with the Christmas promo every year, the thing they usually have is you can get as many gifts as you want, and you'll just have, like I think this year I did a video on, like, 50 Red Zone packs. That's because I did so many gifts that I just had those laying around. So, like, it was nice just to be able to hoard stuff, basically, and I like that.
Yeah, and I really did like the gift aspect of it. I think the cool thing about Ultimate Freeze is that it's like four or five promos in one. Because with all the promos in Madden Mobile so far, like, you have, like, you know, certain set promos that are, like, complete this many for an elite player. They had, like, a bunch of just random, like, sets. Like, probably the promo other than Black Friday with the most sets. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, that's true. And that was a big problem this year, was lack of sets. So that kind of really stood out this year.
Yeah, I felt like that, like, Ultimate Freeze was almost like the big bang. And then right after that, Team of the Year comes in and just slits our throats.
Oh my, don't talk about Team of the Year here.
Bro, we're not gonna bring that up. That's a different podcast.
Yeah. And the console, console people were complaining too, and I was like, you haven't seen anything. You don't even understand,
bro. When console complains, the Madden Mobile is, like, dying.
Yeah.
Like, trust me, it was. If you're a hardcore Madden Mobile player, you know that Team of the Year was, like, the biggest letdown of your freaking life.
Yeah.
It was.
I deleted the app. No joke. No lies. I did.
Oh, yeah,
that.
You did. And then I was asking you, like, oh, bro, you better have, like, saved it with Google or something. Like, if you did it with a guest and deleted it, rip.
Yeah, that's true.
I think my favorite promo, honestly, I think Ultimate Freeze probably took the top. But because you chose Ultimate Freeze, I'm going to go the route of freaking Most Feared, dude.
Yeah.
Most Feared, it was. The thing that was so awesome about Most Feared is that they kept releasing content, like, every 4 days.
That's
so you started off with, like, these gold players, and you had a few elite players, and, like, there was card art, and the card art was really cool. It's like the electricity type stuff. And then you had hashtag Madden Mobile Vape all up on the screen, which EA actually heard our cries. We were, like, making, like, we were memeing them on Instagram, making jokes like, yo, Madden Mobile Vape during the Most Feared promo, because – bro, you remember that smoke?
Yeah, it was like three-fourths of the screen. Like,
yeah, and it was like 100% opacity. Like, you couldn't see anything. Yeah. It was actually really annoying.
It was kind of funny, though.
Yeah, it was really funny.
See, I feel like that's kind of what was sad about this year. Like, it felt like the community was dying down just because the game was dying down. Like, when they don't do anything new, or they haven't been recently, but, like, back then, they would do stuff like that. And even though that's a little thing, it's like everyone was talking about it. Like, it was all over social media and stuff. And, like, they actually responded. So it felt like there was a community. But now, Like, there, nothing really new happens to talk about. It's just kind of everything's pretty predictable. And, you know, some people have already quit at this point. But I mean, back then it seemed like any little thing that happened, there was talk about it. There was, you know, trying to find the new thing or meme, man, like meme EA, whatever.
Yeah, it was just a bunch of jokes. Yeah. It was all the promos, just, it was just the thing with it, it's just a copy and paste kind of year.
Yeah, it really like, was. They need to
copy and pasted the lead sets. And there wasn't really anything like there's like two Madden Mobile players. There's like the grinder who like spends no money. Then this kind of the YouTubers kind of like us who will grind but also will probably spend more money just because that's what the fans want to see, you know? It's like they watch what they can't do, so they watch us open these packs and stuff. But yeah, I felt like it wasn't engaging enough. The one thing though about Most Feared that I really liked was I loved all of the stuff that came out like Halloween night.
That
was super exciting. We got the Halloween packs, which were like super legit. You opened up some on your, I don't think I opened up those, but you opened up a ton on your channel, the Halloween packs. And then additionally with the Halloween packs, you had the orbs, which I thought were a little weird, but
it was new. It was different.
It was new. And they offered like 10 different players to get with the orbs. It was something to like, I always was on the app. Like I was like during Most Feared, I was always like trying to complete something because there was just so much to do.
Yeah. And it's funny because at the time I didn't even like that promo because like compared to last year's, I didn't like it. But I mean, obviously I had like much higher standards at the time, but looking back, it's like, that's the best one. Like those are top two basically. And
EA came in clutch, keeping the card art on Urlacher.
Yeah,
that was really cool. I would love to see more like animations on different promos, like when like on like a firework or 4th of July. Like, could we have like fireworks?
They might as well spice it up.
Just go all out. That'd be super legit. That'd be like, I think that's the first time there's ever been animation. Am I wrong? Has console ever had animation on a card?
I don't know. They might not have. I don't know that I remember.
I don't remember. Yeah. Maybe someone listening will know and let us know. But yeah, I don't think so. I think that was like very mobile specific. And the fact that they brought that back, I thought was pretty sick.
Yeah. Honestly, I think my biggest complaint throughout, I'm going to bring console into this a little bit even too, but between both of the games, both versions of Madden, my biggest complaint is the sets. Like there's a lack of random sets. I can go through this whole list of sets that they just axed randomly that made basically YouTube videos of this game fun to watch.
That's because, so true.
Like there's no random aspect anymore. Nobody wants to see you like on a video just like making or completing sets or doing the elite set. I did the elite trade-in set at the beginning of the year. I would do like 50 and like just drop all my money on that to try to like, you know, do something that no one else could do. But it was really kind of pointless because when I did it, you just get all cards that were going for the same value on the auction block, and that's just stupid. Like, okay, so let me think for a second. So Campus Heroes, Campus Legends, Random Ultimate Legends.
There was Flashbacks,
Rose Signature. They did. You can kind of put an X Factor in there too because they never updated that, so that's basically a failed promo too.
So many failed promos.
There's so many that they just axe for no reason. Oh, the random Ghost of Madden, the BCA Elite players where you could get the 92 Thomas Davis. Literally every promo would always have the Elite trade-in set where you could get the really rare Elites in that set, but they got rid of that completely. Like, they're different overalls, but they're all collectibles now. They all go for the same amount, and no one uses the players just to use the players. And it's really sad because...
Yeah, like... I completely forgot about that. Like, cause we've been making videos like wish lists and stuff, but that's such a good point. Like, dude, those road sign signature sets.
Yeah.
Like if you could get all the road signs and then do a video and you get a random player.
That was
like,
so fun.
That got MMG, like those kind of sets got MMG like 600K views.
Yeah, that's when the community was like really, really up. It was like when there was so much diversity in packs back when Greatness MM was around. He was getting all his views and all his subs because like every day. Yeah, it's true. Coconut head. But like every day he would have like some kind of different set where he does like 10 of them or something because his fans
and people
would
love
coins and stuff. And people love it, yeah. And that's just gone now. And even if you look at console, the reason I said console is because you look at like Lost and Unbound and like TD and those collabs and stuff with the Guess Who's or with the like random flashback packs. They don't have that anymore on console. they don't have the signatures and stuff like that cost too much. That's what I was kind of wondering, like, wait, what happened in this on console? Why does no one do this? And they cost so much, and they have such, like, players that don't profit you at all, that people have just completely stopped doing it. And that's actually, like, killed collabs, basically, because all you can do is gameplay collabs, and that gets old after you do it enough times, especially when the game's kind of, you know, iffy this year.
Oh, yeah, and, like, even when, like, because, like, what kind of Guess Who collabs can Madden Mobile do? Like, the Elite Player Pack? Like,
yeah,
that's
it's disgusting.
Like, think of, what about, like, this? Like, how much more of a factor would this be? How much more entertaining? Let's say there's a set where it requires 15 boss tokens, but it guarantees one random boss player.
That'd be cool. Like they should just do that for
everything.
Up
one, like, we would open up one every 2 weeks, or do a Guess Who, or like a discard or something.
Yeah.
That would be so hype, because you're like, am I going to get the +5 speed? Or maybe they just completely ditched all the sets, because with the boss promo, this is also something I want to address. A lot of people love the boss promo, and I personally I'm like shocked that EA was so generous with the cards.
Yeah.
But when it comes to just giving us sets, dude,
terrible.
I can barely complete it. And we have probably some of the most resources more than anyone else.
Yeah.
So like for our fans, they don't really even have a shot.
That's true.
Maybe if they grind super hard, they'll be able to get one boss player.
And see, here's the thing. Sorry to interrupt, but
no, you're good.
That whole thing is, if they brought them out earlier, this kind of set would cater to the people that have been opening packs all year, saving stuff, didn't get anything, and they can just throw all their stuff in these sets. But now they released it at the point when everyone's off the game, and there's, you know, if you don't have anything on your bench, you can't do anything with this promo. It's just sets, purely sets.
Yeah, and I think, it's so different, because we always have so many critiques for things, but we also have to remember this is a free game, and it's an iPhone game, and like expecting tons of things from them, it's kind of like, okay, you could only expect so much. But yeah, I think one of the biggest problems with EA Sports is not that they haven't given us enough stuff, but they've taken away too much.
Exactly. We only get mad when they just randomly take away stuff we like, or they you know, the most of the problems aren't hard fixes. We're not like, hey, fix the gameplay. It's a free game, we understand that. But the reason most people ever download this app is like, hey, it's fun to open packs. And what they've done is made it not fun to open packs. And even on console, it's not fun to open packs. And that's another thing, they kind of killed the mode. And they killed it on two fronts, too, because what they did is first of all, they decided to release content less often. Okay, fine. That, you know, maybe you want to take more time. Maybe you're taking more time on NBA Live or whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, that's it's your choice. But what you can't do on top of that is take away the metagame. So, like, basically take away these random sets and stuff, and take away the stuff that's basically – allowing YouTubers to make exciting content for the people to stay in the community, even while there's nothing technically being released in the game. You can't do both of those things, or you're gonna have a dead game, and that's just how it works. Like,
Because you can only open YouTubers can only open packs for so much, and like
the same packs,
same packs, and then even people who don't watch YouTube, like they can, or like are just involved in like Mudhead or Reddit, like those, like everyone who plays Madden Mobile can only like open so many packs and spend so many coins, and then you have like people getting banned and you don't want to do stuff and you feel like scared, and it's just like there's nothing that requires like chance. The chance sets were the best, because you're like, what am I going to get? And I think they had a few of those, but they weren't to the scale where it was like crazy. All of the chance sets were either like 88 overalls to 95 overalls, and they were elite players, like an elite BCA, or I think the last one was like Firework. You get a Firework player.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, we need the big boy sets, the flashback sets, especially when the game starts. Because when the game starts, the big cards are like, you know, those 85 overall elites. Like, those are the ones to get. So at the start of the year, it always seems to be fine. But when we get towards the end of the year, we're going to need like 99s, like 699 cards that we can pull by chance in a set, because that's what's fun for people to grind for and do live events. And then you can, after doing those live events, you're like, now I can go, you know, do this set for chance, and maybe you do it with a friend or film it for YouTube. Like, it just makes it more fun.
Yeah. And it's sad when you think about it, because most of those sets that we loved last year, they weren't even like promo sets. Like they were base sets. Like, so you think about like Flashback, that was there since the beginning of the year. Yeah, they updated a few times, but it was since the beginning of the year. Road Signature, they used to consider Road to the Playoffs like a base, like the base elites, basically, like just like updated base elites. So that came during that promo. So it's basically a base set. So all the things that we loved at the end of the year were there at the beginning of the year. This year they just didn't do it. They didn't update the X Factor. They got rid of Flashbacks. They didn't have Road Signature. They didn't have a real road to the playoffs. What did they have? I don't remember what the
replacement was. It was that MVP kind of.
Yeah, and that's fine and all, but it wasn't.
I thought the MVPs was actually one of the more successful promos. Yeah. But if MVPs had road sign sets too,
yeah,
or like MVP signs or like MVP collectibles, like that would have made it all the better.
And like that's the thing. That's the problem. They're taking away the good parts of the game. Like you think about it. I remember last year, one of my favorite parts of the year was I felt so smart because I invested in those road like gold road signs or whatever, and it was like playing the market. That was the fun part about it. I had like 300 of those things because they went for like 100 coins and wouldn't even sell at 100 coins, and I just had them laying around, and all of a sudden the promo ended and the packs went away, and they were going for like 20,000 because you had that 98 Ed Reed in the set and everyone wanted to complete that, and those elite road signs were worth different ones and each collectible was worth a different amount. It was just a really
just
fun
so
promo
much better.
Yeah, like just the diversity in the game was so much better.
I think Madden Mobile, I'm really excited to see what Madden Mobile 18 has in store for us. Hopefully they listen to us. At the end, only thing we can do is just talk about it. That's the only thing we actually can do. We can ask Noob Kill, you know, to slide over one to Daddy Kralo and see if he can hook it up. But yeah, there's not much. But yeah, I completely agree. Like the sets and bringing back some of the stuff they've taken away is going to be cool. I'm just hoping that like, with Madden Mobile 18, they're not going to forget stuff from Madden Mobile 16 that we liked.
Yeah.
Because that would suck. But I think we should move on to one of our next topics for today's podcast. This is actually going to be really interesting. Miles, what is one of the craziest experiences that you've ever had in the gaming YouTube community? So whether it was with like Madden Mobile or something, like I feel like a lot of people would be interested in this question. I've actually had people ask me this before, but like what's the crazy experience you've had like being a gaming YouTuber?
Okay, I'm going to say one thing, but then I'm going to pass to you because I'm going to have to think about this for a second, but I know one crazy thing that's happened that seemed crazy to me at least was recently I think I took like a picture of like I was at like a game or something, and I took a picture and I was like talking about the game and stuff, and like I got like 6 or 7 comments of people going like, "Hey, dude, I'm at this game too. Like, what section are you in?" And I was just like, "What?" Like, it's just so crazy to me that like that
did
actually
you feel weird.
Yeah,
like, did you want to hide from them? Kind of.
I mean, for a second, but it was also really cool because it was like I can't believe that like I could just go somewhere and there's a chance that someone recognized. Yeah, exactly.
That's so sick, dude. Yeah, those kind of things are crazy. I remember I met a kid in the mall who knew who I was. And I think I told you this before. It was so funny. The kid is walking the mall and like he's like, "Hey, aren't you Madden Mobile Slay?" I was like, "Oh yeah, dude. Like, what's up? Like, nice to meet you. What's your name?" He's like, "Ryan." He's like, "Hey, do you know MMG? He's my favorite YouTuber."
Rip.
And like I'm pretty sure I was like, "Oh, bro, he's my favorite too. Yeah, like he's so cool. Good to meet you, dude." And then we left. But like, I felt so like roasted, dude.
Wait,
like,
did he come right up to you, or did he like follow you around for a second?
No, he came right up to me.
Oh, okay.
Like, I walked by him and like we made eye contact for a second. He's like, "Hey, aren't you that Madden Mobile Slay dude?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Bro, MMG's my favorite YouTuber." And I was like, "Oh,
yeah.
Just get take the shot."
See, I'm gonna feel mad sketched the first time that happens. If someone like just follows me around and like is trying to make sure, but it's like really weird. Cause, like, they won't say anything.
Dude, there was also this one kid at my church camp, and he was like, "Madden Mobile Slay," and I was like a leader at this camp, and I was like, "Hey, dude!" But like, here's what's weird. It's like, I'm used to like my fans and like people on YouTube calling me Slay, but in real life when someone calls me Slay, it's kind of like weird.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, I have a name. And this kid kept, whenever he saw me, he was like, "Hey, Slay." I just felt so like cringe.
See, I don't think I'll ever have that problem because so many people like just don't even try to pronounce my name. Like they're just like, Miles.
Wait, Malicious?
Yeah. You wouldn't Malicious believe how many people like fumble over that. But
how would they say it incorrectly?
I don't know, man. It happens. I don't.
Malisha.
I guess.
Malisha.
Maybe it's
ooh,
like.
Ooh, Malisha.
No, stop.
Malisha Mile.
I'll leave it. Craziest,
dude. The craziest experience I've had, and it was probably one that you've been a part of too, which you're gonna know right when I tell you. Uh-huh. But remember when the Madden Mobile YouTuber faked his death?
Oh yeah.
Let me tell them the story. So there is this like one YouTuber. He's like a smaller kind of Madden Mobile. He's kind of like a multi-game YouTuber. And this, I'm not gonna say his name, but this dude like had a small channel, and he was like huge fans of like mine and Miles and most YouTubers. He's like very active on Instagram, and he had a channel, and it was pretty decent. I think he got to like maybe 1,000 or 2,000 subs or something, like pretty legit. And just one day, like, I think he kept asking people for collabs, and everyone was like turning him down because he was like a really, like, he was like a child. Like, what do you think? Like, maybe like 11,
yeah,
Miles,
something like that.
He was like 11 or so. And what happened was, is like, there was an Instagram post, and it was a picture of a young kid, and the caption was huge. And the caption read, "This is, let's just say his name's Tim. This is Tim's mother. Tim, unfortunately, has tragically died in a car accident." This is on this kid's account. He has died in it was like a bus accident.
Yeah.
Our family is completely shocked. We don't know what's happening. We're like, it was like super legit, like very well written. And it was like this huge explanation, like the mom was on his account telling all of his fans. He's like, "And I know you guys were fans of Tim and his YouTube channel. Please keep him in your prayers. We're going through a hard time." But like, the way it was written, it was like, bro, this is legit. Like, this, yeah. YouTuber,
and that's
just
one of those things you can't really question. like even if it looks a little suspicious, you can't really question,
bro,
it. Because
yes.
Like, if it's real, then yeah.
Yeah, and he was, and so like we didn't know what to do. And I think someone instantly, I got tons of DMs like, "Bro, this YouTuber just died like in a bus accident." And I almost, this is when I was like, you don't really know what to do. I almost wanted to be like, no way. Like, I kind of like almost made it a joke for a second, because I was like,
well, because lots of people say that. Lots of people are like, "Oh my, you know, this person's sick, my dog died, my pet rock died," whatever, to try to get coins or something.
This was another level, dude.
Yeah,
if you had a family member pass away,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't like instantly go to Instagram and post like, "Oh my gosh, can't believe he just died."
Yeah,
like,
no.
It would take you a few weeks or like
to even think of that, yeah,
or to even tell anyone.
Yeah.
So the fact that this mom literally was like, "He died today in a bus accident." So it had like what? It had like maybe 800 comments on the Instagram. The whole community is flipping out, and then someone took the liberty to like search up bus accidents in the city that the mom said that they lived in, and there was no accidents at all.
That's true. And actually, for a while, whoa, wait, was that a different one? What did this happen twice? Because I feel like there was one guy who, one account who made a post like that, and then everyone changed their profile picture to like their profile picture.
No, that was different. That was a dude who had like cancer.
Oh, and yeah, like, and it was fake.
Yeah. Oh no, that was just a random Instagram kid. He's in stage 4 cancer.
Yeah, like, but like that went through the whole community. Everyone believed it, and it was fake.
It was like, "Be strong for Jack," and like we all had that profile picture of like Jack, and like everyone.
That's
and
crazy.
Then the whole thing was a troll, dude. He got like all of Instagram. He had like a million likes on his troll.
That's crazy.
I think he actually got in trouble, dude.
He got like what 20,000 followers. It was something insane. It was like,
and he was faking his cancer, dude.
Yeah,
that, and like he and I was skeptical, but then I just put the profile picture.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to, you know, if it's real, then like,
pay my dues, dude. Like, honor him and pray for him. But yeah, like, bro, that was just. But the thing with this kid, and then so then what happened was, this kid was a really big fan of mine, apparently. So like 5 hours later, the kid DMs me. The kid who faked his death,
aww,
he DMs me, and he's like, "Hey, it's actually me. I didn't die.
I'm dead."
The dude just was like, "Hey, it's not, I didn't die. Oh, you thought I died? No, I actually didn't. I was just trying to leave the community."
Oh,
that's
God.
What he said. Your boy was trying to leave by faking his death.
Yeah. See, that's why the internet's messed up. Like, because people like will roast you, like, "Oh, you fell for that. I can't believe it." No, it's like, if that's real, then you want to support him or whatever. And like, you shouldn't even question that. You shouldn't have to question that. Like, no one should be faking their death. Like, that's stupid. but you know.
Yeah. I didn't know what to do at that point. And then I'm pretty sure he, like, after like a month, he's like making this comeback to YouTube.
Yeah, that's
and, like,
not happening.
What he was doing is he was getting like all these followers because people thought he was dead, so everyone was following. Which, why is that like a thing? Like, when people die, we just start following.
I don't know.
It was weird. Like, it was just everyone's like initial reaction.
I mean, I guess it's to show support because everyone wants to have a lot of followers. So it's like, hey, let's at least give him this, you know?
Yeah. But bro, then he like tried to do a comeback, and like I actually made a video, then I took it down. I think his parents were like finding out, or like people were taking steps to let this kid's parents know that he did this. And I think the kid actually got like screwed. Like, if my mom found out that I like basically died to all of my fans, that would not go down well. Yeah. I guess with that, we can transition into one of the next questions, considering that was a hard time. Miles, what do you think is one of the hardest parts of being a YouTuber, dude? I want to know what you think.
All right, hold on. So, I mean, I guess for me, probably like, I'm going to let you go first. Do you have an answer for this one?
I think first, initially, like the hardest parts of being a YouTuber, I think is probably... Honestly, I think it's the hate. I think that's one of the things that a lot of YouTubers are like, oh, I like block it out. But it really does get to us, especially with like, I think initially the hardest part of being a YouTuber is like getting a platform. And for anyone who's listening to this and you're like, you want to be a YouTuber, honestly, get good channel art, post consistently and post a lot and just keep posting. That's literally how you make it. Because like, you're thinking like, oh, I'll never be able to get to 10,000 views a video or 100,000 views a video. But like, how did we start? We literally started just like posting videos. We hit the 100 sub mark and we're like, oh yay, 100 subs. And then 1,000, then we freaked out, then 10,000. And then it just grew like that.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely is like the hardest part initially.
Yeah. Honestly, when you say hate, I think of the beginning. Like, I think the hardest part is like when you're starting off and like you don't get that many comments, you'll get like 3 comments or something, and that's a good day. And then if 2 of them are like, you suck, quit, delete this, it's like, it doesn't necessarily get to you. It's just like, wow, you know, maybe I'm not that good at this. But most of, like, literally 99% of the cases I've seen is just like, if you keep going, you automatically get better. Like, it's automatic. You don't even have a choice in this. And even if you don't buy any new equipment, which you probably will, just if you enjoy it, you're going to, like, invest in it. But, like, even if you don't change anything, you're going to get better. Because the biggest part of it is, honestly, being comfortable in front of the camera and stuff like that. And then just...
For sure.
Putting effort into it. Most people, like, quit early because they get discouraged by friends or by people just randomly comment and be like, oh, no, you suck. But literally everyone sucks in the beginning. Everyone does.
Yeah, everyone's trash.
Yeah, and you don't think like, oh, I don't have a personality for this, or I'm not funny enough. Most people, literally, like, even the funniest people out there aren't funny at first, because you have to like get a feel for your own, like, I don't know, like your own sense of humor.
And you gotta get comfortable too. Yeah. Like the first few months, like, you're gonna be uncomfortable just because, like, sitting in front of a camera talking to a computer screen, like, it's much different. But yeah, I think definitely with hardest part of like being a YouTuber, I think the hate for sure comes in. I did, I would block. So I would hide every single like curse word, every single kind of like word that would insinuate like someone was writing a hate comment. And I blocked them all. And the problem with that is that first off, my comment section was golden, dude. It was like the holy land. Everyone was so, oh my God, Aflay, I love your channel. But then there was like this held for review section on YouTube that I would see get larger and larger until it had almost 2,000 comments. Wow. And like, I wanted to click on it because I wanted to see what people were saying negatively. And when I would click on it, dude, and I would read these comments, bro, like, they would just like crush you. Like, and I kind of got over the bad ones that are like, or like the ones that are like, kill yourself.
Exactly.
Or like,
yeah, those are like the easiest ones to deal with.
I almost laugh. Yeah. I laugh at those. But then there's ones where it's like, I think the ones that get me the most are when people specifically talk about like the content that I'm producing, or like how I'm presenting myself, that kind of stuff. Like, or like if they like make fun of like how I said something, or I feel that's what gets me the most.
Yeah. For me, it's like it's kind of like a kick you when you're down thing. Like usually the worst time for that kind of stuff is like, let's say your numbers are down or like something, you're kind of second guessing like what you're doing or something like that, and then people are like say something specific, then it's like, oh, you know, I don't know. But
Yeah, they just like they're like, oh man, you're so trash. Or like when they say something like, you're not as good as this YouTuber,
yeah,
or
exactly.
why would I watch you open these packs when this person opened these packs an hour ago? Those kind of things.
Yeah, and it, like you said, it's a lot worse when someone's like, "Oh yeah, you're not funny, or you're not smart, or like you don't have, you can't be at this level," or say something specific. I don't know, instead of just like, "Oh, you're ugly," or "Oh, you're stupid." It's like, but if they're like it's specific, that's when it gets.
Yeah. And I think also one of the harder parts for me personally, like being a YouTuber in like kind of the mobile Madden kind of world, is not only is like appealing to more of the educated gamers. And what I mean by that is like those on Mudhead, those on the forums, those who are like who definitely like spend a lot of time. Because, and one of the things that will get me is a lot of people will assume that just because I open packs, I have no clue how to actually play the game,
Yeah, exactly.
which is completely wrong. I mean, if you can only do so much in a mobile game, and if I've done a mobile game for 2 years, I know my way around the freaking app, you know? Like, we're not idiots. And I think one of the things was like I was trying to like get the approval of some of like, you know, the more, I guess, older audience, but like educated, so like the people in the forums. But the thing was is that a lot of them really dislike me. I think especially because of like kind of the coin selling stuff, then you got like, you know, the bans. And when it comes to like getting banned and all that kind of stuff, I can completely hide that and just not tell anyone. I think it's entertaining in a sense for a lot of people to like watch. Like, I mean, that's some of my best videos are of me getting wrecked by EA, and that's just a choice that I made. So I think that also plays into fact, like especially a lot of people got upset when I when like my you guys like would expose that Sam kid dude. Though it's hard, you kind of get over it. You kind of just understand how everyone's talking, and then a lot of the positivity definitely outweighs
I
negativity.
think the thing for me is something that really sticks with you is like, even later on, once you're past like the normal hate, it's like what a myth that is kind of out there is kind of like, okay, you have to like people in the comments will say like, oh, this isn't quality content, or like they'll say like you like this game is stupid or this takes no skill. It's like, okay, something you have to think about. People like will criticize you for doing whatever is popular at the time because they're like, oh, you're just doing this for views. Yes, you are. Like, yeah, you are doing it just for views. But like,
That's the
cause
job.
you have to get a platform before you can do what you want. Like a good example of that is like, Nadeshot, like on YouTube. So he just like he used to just do Call of Duty videos, right? Like he would just do gameplays or mod, whatever. Like I never watched that stuff. It was kind of like mindless to me. Like he was actually good at the game, but still, it was kind of boring. And this is what we do is kind of even worse in some people's eyes because it's just like a mobile game, and it's just 100% on the based around the game, right? So a lot of people see that and they're like, oh, this is, you know, especially if you're bad at the game in some way, it's like, oh, you're bad at the game. You're just doing this for views. You wouldn't have any subs if people were just subscribing for you. And that's like a myth, 'cause like, okay, so yes, that's true, but people wouldn't subscribe to anyone if it was just for them because you can't really get to know the person until they have a platform. So like in situations like that, you have to, if you're just starting out or whatever and you're like discouraged or whatever because you want it, don't basically start your channel thinking I want this to be my image and I want to do this and stuff like that's nice and all, but that's not how it
Yeah, for
works.
sure.
Like you have to get big by like doing what is popular. You have to clickbait to some degree. Don't be an idiot, but you have to, you know, make it enticing for people to click or no one will. And you have to play what's
I agree.
popular or no
I
one will
completely
care.
agree.
And then once you get bigger, then you can like kind of refine your stuff and like say, hey, actually, you know, I don't want to play this. So even if I get less views, that's fine, but I want to play this. And then you'll have a platform. People will know you, and then people can then decide, do I want to stay for this person or is it just for the game? And then that's fine. But when you're starting out,
Yeah,
don't get
and
discouraged.
you ultimately want to subscribe for the person. With the whole money thing, like YouTubers, like we're both YouTubers, successful ones in a sense that we've made like actual money from it. And I think that if every Madden Mobile YouTuber who is like one of the bigger YouTubers. So like, or maybe Madden Console, you have like who are some of the, you have for like Madden Console, you got like, you know, MMG, you have, you know, IMAV, you have all these people, RBT, you got Mike Mack, you got Texas, Vic. You got Cookie, Vic, you got all these dudes. And mobile, you got myself, Miles, you know, you got Jab. Miles kind of does like multiple things. But like, think about it. If none of the YouTubers got paid from sponsors or from YouTube, we most likely, as much as we love everyone, we probably wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah. And like, it's just ability,
or at least as hardcore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And you would want to do it like, you would want to do it much more. If you're like, that's the thing for YouTubers. If we're going to get paid, then first off, we love our fans and we love our channels. But if we're going to get paid and it's a job, not only are the fans going to benefit more with consistent uploads, they're going to benefit from better content. And I think that's something that a lot of people kind of don't think about. They're like, who cares if a YouTuber, like, I don't, why is our YouTuber doing coin sponsors? Why is our YouTuber, you know, selling out with a sponsor? Well, it's our job.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about like how much we like legit get paid? I'm sure people would love to hear, especially. I'm down.
That's also, I just would say, like, that's how hobbies work. Like, people don't think about it, but it's like, let's say you, okay, it's a perfect example because it's basically what we do. Let's say you collect cards, right? If you collect cards, you collect based on what?
When you collect cards?
Yeah, like baseball cards or like Pokemon cards or whatever else. Like, you
I didn't hold L's by collecting cards.
Shut up.
I don't know.
But like, what do you collect?
I used to, were you that Yu-Gi-Oh kid at lunch who everyone hated?
No.
What's up, guys?
No, Yu-Gi-Oh is bootleg Pokemon. Get out of here. But no, like, rip. What you do, you collect based on value. So like, that the reason you collect based on value is because you want to basically make money. Like, that's the fun in it, make value so that you can keep doing the hobby. Or like, I don't know, what's another example?
Yeah, that's a failed analogy. Yeah.
Okay, Miles. All right, I'm sorry, but like but what I'm saying is, in order for you to keep continuing any hobby, there has to be something in it. Like, there has to be something behind it making it worth it.
There has to be something worth it. Yeah, you have to. Like, it has to be a drive, or it's just going to become a dead hobby. You know what I'm saying?
Like, because some people literally make careers that are like, maybe they own a card shop or whatever they're doing. Like, they actually, like, basically invest in it enough that they can make it a job. And that's basically what we're doing. It's not that we don't like doing it at its core, but it's just like, you kind of have to do certain things to keep it going.
Totally. And I think like, having a hobby turn into something that pays is awesome. Like, something that we love to do, which is like, make videos, get, you know, money and make that kind of stuff. Like, if we think about it, I think we also, I want to talk about, like, briefly, we could talk about it more, but you have like, for like Madden Console, kind of the gaming with EA, you got like game changers, then you got non-game changers. Miles, you kind of want to explain like what the difference between both of those are?
Yeah. Okay. So,
because we're talking about money, so we might as well address.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. So game changers, the general like kind of, perception, I guess, when you're looking at game changers, is a lot of people think they're EA puppets, which I want to say is not true. They have very little influence actually with EA, even though it seems like they do. But okay, so what they are is, they are basically partnered with EA and they get early access to certain things. They occasionally will get some, you know, Madden cash or Madden points, whatever, to open packs, basically to showcase the game. But kind of to EA's fault here, they don't really, they could do a lot more with that program in order to entice some people, but they really don't give them too much value-wise to make it worth it. But non-game changers are kind of the people, usually in most cases for these games, are the people that have coin sponsors, and they decide that's the better route for their channel rather than partnering with EA, because it is one or the other. EA doesn't partner with anyone who does coin sponsors, but they also don't pay the EA game changers. So the problem here is, it makes it...
it's a hard choice.
Yeah, it's a hard choice, because of course you'd love to work with the company of the game that you love playing growing up or whatever, or the one that you just love playing now. Of course you would. But the problem here is, if there's, okay, so YouTube, first of all, especially after the ad apocalypse or whatever, the problem with that is, you can't rely on just YouTube ads. You really can't. It's very little money, actually. Like, I could give you guys numbers. I don't know if you're allowed to technically,
ballparks.
For sure.
I'll say my ballpark. So like, during like, I guess regular Madden Mobiles, let's say primetime Madden Mobile, which is like October to December.
Yeah.
Just from like YouTube views, I think I could max whip up like 2.2K a month just from YouTube. But yeah, a lot of times if it's really bad, I'll get like 300 a month from YouTube ads.
Yeah, that's—
what about you?
Okay, so like I range from like, I think it's like 300 to 800, but I've had like a lot less subs than you since like last year. I think you were like—
yeah, you just gotten big.
I've just gotten to the point, which sucks because now the ads are really low because of the YouTube thing and because
you
the
didn't
game...
rack in that early money.
Yeah, exactly. But see, the problem with this is, especially when EA is not listening to the game changers, it's the game itself. So like right now, the game's dead. A month ago, the game was dead. 2 months ago, game was dead. And when you think about it, you start to add it up between the off season and just them not putting out content. You get to the point where so much of the time the game is dead that that affects your ads. That affects like how many views you're getting. That affects—
oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, what you have to do. Like, I basically had to do a 40 million coin shopping spree, which, if you guys don't know, is a lot of money. I had to do that just to get 27,000 views, whereas during the regular season that'd be like 200, 300, 400,000 views. So like, okay, not this season, but last season. Again, another thing with 16-17, but I won't get into that. But it's the problem is, if they listen to the game changers, right, then maybe some people would be like, okay, you know, I'm going to take a big L with this money. But it might be worth it to have the info, just to enjoy the game, to make sure other people enjoy the game and stuff like that. But that's not the case.
And that's the biggest difference. We could both clean up and get with EA.
Yeah.
And like become, you know, partners with them. But the thing with that is that there's no incentive. Like, okay, I'll get flown out to two events. I'll be able to get early footage of Madden Mobile, which I think would be sick. Like, I would love to do it with coin sponsors, but
and just meet other people too. That'd be great.
Yeah, and just meet other people. But the difference is, and you're like, what's so crazy about the coin sponsors? Well, like, if I'm getting 2,000 just from YouTube views a month, then I could, on top of like coin sponsorships, I could be making like 7,000 a month, which is like pretty big. In 7,000 like times 12 months, like that's like a full-time job, like a really nice full-time
like
job.
What it does for literally anyone at this point is it basically turns it from like a hobby that makes you next to nothing to like a full-time job. Like it's 3/4 of what you're earning, maybe even more than that. And it's
straight up. Yeah. And the thing that's so nice about it is that it's YouTube. So you're your own boss. You're on your own schedule. You can still do school and you could sit down one Saturday night and film all of your week's content and make, you know, $1,000 that week just posting videos.
And if anyone follows my channel, or at least followed it like during the season back at its peak, you might say, during that time when I was doing pretty much every single video I dropped was something like insane as far as like how much money was spent or whatever.
You got so many views.
Yeah, and every single one I was averaging like 45,000 views a video, and that was during— I mean, this year videos like that didn't quite get quite as many views because the community is a little bit smaller. But like, it's just the fact that that happened was only possible because of the coin sponsors. Because see, we don't just like hoard money. We're not just like greedy. Like when I got money from the coin sponsor, I was like, hey, you know what I can do now? I can invest like a lot of this back into the channel and make it like— because this is my hobby, this is what I like to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't mind spending like a ridiculous amount of money that no one else can, so that you guys can see stuff that, you know, wouldn't otherwise happen in the game. Just to make better videos, because that's what I like to do. And that's my end goal is to grow my channel so I can, you know, eventually make content that I'm proud of. And like that's what I want to do. But you need money to do that, or it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. And I think a big misconception with that is that it's like, okay, so your sponsor gives you coins, so you make these awesome videos, but like you don't know how to play the game because you don't grind like me. And I think that's a really big misconception, because a lot of times our goal, especially with like coin methods, is to help out our fans as much as possible. So not only are we getting these coins, but we're not just getting these coins and just sitting here like, oh, look, I got these coins, you should go and try this. you should try and do this live event. And look, I have 10 million coins. Yay, you could get there. Like, that's not how it works. Like, we get these coins because we're going to use the coins to get, like, a bunch of packs. Or just do, like, a wild, you know, quick sell challenge or something. So a lot of times, and I think maybe that's just the case for us, but I think most YouTubers with, like, stuff that's given to them, because I remember, bro, back in, like, when I first started, kids were donating coins.
Oh, yeah.
And I had, at one point, I had to stop accepting because I was getting, like, 8 million coin donations.
That's one of the sad parts, honestly. Like, back then, the community was so active that people were like, hey, I just want to see a better video. You can take these coins. You know, like, it was just a lot different. People were excited about it. And recently, it just hasn't really been there.
Well, I hope ultimately, you know, with everything we've talked about so far, the transition, the different parts of being a YouTuber, hopefully you guys have kind of gotten a little more knowledge about Madden. It's kind of cool just from our perspective too, just because a lot of times we're like not as, we can't really talk much about the game. We can talk briefly in our videos, but we can't do a long podcast like this.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of cool. Annoying when you talk about it in regular videos.
People are like, I don't care. But those who actually do care, you guys can subscribe to this channel and like. But yeah, I think we've hit around, you know, 50 minutes or so. I think that's pretty Gucci. We're going to have some really fun guests. I mean, who are we going to try and get, Miles? I think we're going to try and talk to, like, dudes like Victionary, Kohlenberger, you know, get MMG potentially. Yeah. I think we could snag Papa QJB.
Yeah, and like I said, guys, like, if there's anyone out there listening who is a content creator or whatever, sure. just let us know, because we haven't scheduled anything yet. We haven't really gone into depth with any of that, and so it's wide open right now.
Thank you guys so much for watching the Network Timeout episode 1. Be sure to leave a like and subscribe. You can subscribe to Malicious Miles and myself in the description, and I hope you guys have a fantastic day. Talk to you later.
See you guys.